Today is Saturday, the 2nd of April 2022, and all of us are gathered here today for the 27th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. On behalf of the organizers and all attendees, I would like to welcome with respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's session, and I would also like to cordial welcome all the organizers and attendees attending to today's event remotely through Zoom. And as the first step in our session, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to proceed with the in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the next steps as usual. Over to you, Bhante. Much merits.
Dear friends, so I think we can do a walking session today, mindful walking session. So for this, you have to make sure that you have some space where you can walk back and forth. Probably around 10 to 15 feet is enough. And make sure that there are no obstacles on this path. And you start walking back and forth. In a comfortable manner, you walk back and forth in this space. Now, we usually walk, but there is a difference. While mindful practice, we try to walk with awareness. We try to walk while being aware that we are walking. So this awareness is what lacking in our life. We usually walk every day, probably few kilometers we are walking, but we don't have this awareness. So while doing mindful walking, we try to walk back and forth and try to be aware that we are walking. Just again and again observe what you can feel when you walk. When you do that, probably you will notice that your attention is heading towards sounds, then probably surrounding sights that you see. Your attention is going towards them. That is fine. Again and again, you try to walk while being aware. And when you do this, you may start to notice that your body is also walking. When your body is walking, you can feel that your legs are moving, how the weight is shifting from one leg to the other, you may notice. With your mind, you are noticing what is happening. Then you may also feel the ground that you are walking. If it is a wooden floor, you will feel a certain texture, certain temperature. If it is a cement floor, you will feel various other things. So you try to notice what you feel while walking, and again you walk back and forth. When you do this, thoughts may pop into your head, various plans, ideas, memories may come. But again and again, you can be aware that my attention is with the thought. You can be aware that my attention is with the future plan. You can be aware that my attention is with something else. With that awareness, again and again, we bring our attention back to the walking body. So probably 10 to 15 minutes, we are going to walk. And we try to be aware again and again. Thoughts may appear. Your attention will go to sounds, sights, various bodily sensations you will feel inside your body. Again and again, you become aware about these things. Again and again, you bring your attention to the present moment. So this is a simple task that we are going to do. So I invite all of you to join this walking session and try to be mindful for 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, so that's the time for mindful walking today. And with that, Namanth, we can move forward.
Thank you so much for that in-session mindful walking session today, Bhante. And as the next step, I would like to invite Lushani to present the report received for today's session for Bhante to provide us with insightful guidance. And I hand over the microphone to you, Lushani. Thank you. Much merits.
Thank you, Namanta. Avasarai Bhante. Today we have only one report, so I will read out the report that we have received. Report one, walking meditation. Walked on tile floor, watching sensations on feet as primary object. Observed warm, cold, heavy, light. Pins and needles, hard, soft, dry, wet, pressure, contraction, relaxation on each foot. Lifting, moving, lowering, placing, pressing, observed in each foot. Noted the difference in temperature, not in just each foot, but the areas in each foot with variable temperature. When standing to turn, one foot felt heavier and larger than the other at one stage, with a feeling of the foot expanding and weight was distributed unevenly in each foot. This persisted after turning and walking the whole length and changed to the foot becoming lighter and smaller after a while. At a later stage, a similar pattern seen with the other foot appearing bigger but persisted for a shorter time. Aware the mind noting this was just a perception and would change. So just continued to observe without aversion or clinging. Sights, sounds, thoughts came and went, not distracting. At one stage, whole body was covered with cold waves, and later on there was a wave of warmth spreading from head to toes, which passed. Walked for 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. Initial in breath colder and warmer, out breath more prominent on left. After a short time, breath appeared to be above the nose, almost at the level of the eyes, and then settled again at level of nostrils. No breath felt later, but expansion and contraction of chest noted. Breath reappeared after a short time. Many images appeared and passed, some quite clear, others not so. Initially, a few thoughts distracting, but mind soon returned to breath. Meditated 1 hour. Daily activities. Aware of cold sensation on hand when opening car door. Sounds of birds and traffic. Hardness of steering wheel, coldness of hand, warmer areas of steering wheel felt. Noted mind moving to the breath and then to the pressure of foot on pedal and heat of the seat on the buttocks and thighs. Felt air on face and stretching of hand to alter air vent. When walking, now mind naturally noting movements of the feet and legs. And that's the end of the report, Bhante. Professor Rai.
Okay, so let me start with the day-to-day activities part. Now, when you train your mind to be present, probably during the formal meditation, while walking and sitting, you are training your mind to be present, to observe your breath or to observe your body. So that training, when you do it again and again for some time, then it becomes natural to your mind. Being in the present moment becomes natural. So that is why you are telling now, even during your day-to-day activities, during your day-to-day walking, the mind naturally goes to the feet or the sensations. So that is a very good sign that your mind is naturally becoming mindful. Earlier, the natural flow was towards unmindfulness, now it comes towards the mindfulness. So the same energy, it's like funneling the energy, funneling water. It is usually destructive. But when you store it, when you funnel it properly, you can create power. So that's what we are doing. Usually mind is unmindful. It creates chaos. That is the natural way. But we are doing this training, like a creating dam and storing, you know, funneling properly. That training is there. After that, you can generate power. The mind is naturally mindful. This is a very valuable point. Only long-time practitioners will understand. Now it is natural. That's a turning point in your practice. Earlier, it was towards unmindfulness, worry, thinking mind, wandering mind, you can say whatever the name. Now it is towards mindfulness. Automatically, the mind comes to the present moment. Sometimes you want to, you know, keep thinking on a thought or some mental image or something. You know, you want to follow it. You want to, you know, enjoy it for a while. But suddenly you realize, although you try, you can't go with that. After a while, you automatically come to the present moment. Let it be lust or anger. You can't think for too long. You can't go with that storytelling for hours and hours. Instead, your mind naturally comes to the present moment. So usually the worldly people, when something happens, they think for weeks probably. They can't get over it for weeks. Probably days, they are thinking again and again on the same matter. And their mind is capable of holding on to that matter for weeks, maybe for days. And holding on, we know the result is suffering, pain, worry, stress. So those are the results. But now when mind learns the art of letting go, although you want to hold on to certain things, it naturally goes away, the lubricating effect of mindfulness. It naturally comes to the present moment. So when you train your mind this way, when it becomes more and more natural, whatever the difficult situation you may be in, maybe you are on your deathbed, you have so much pain and suffering in your body, mind, still the mind comes to the present moment. So there are stories about people, you know, they are on their deathbed and they feel so much pain in their body. And still they are saying they can somehow manage this because their mind is mindful. Pain is just pain if you separate it from yourself. If you say this pain is mine, then of course it becomes unbearable. But if you just become the observer, the pain is there. The sickness is there. And your body is giving so much pain and suffering to you. Still, you can observe it. So that is why it's a lifelong support that you get from this practice. The mindful mind will be there for you in any situation. Your family, your friends might leave you, but still your mind is there. That mindfulness will support you during any trouble, difficulty that you are having. So continue this training. See now how the mindfulness comes naturally to your mind. How it is automatically coming to the bodily sensations. How it is automatically letting go the thoughts and be more present. So this observation you can do your day-to-day life. Again and again, try to notice this. keep supporting with formal meditation, but try to notice how your mind is more and more appreciating the present moment.
Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable advice and guidance. Now we have an opportunity to ask Bhante any questions that you will have. So you can unmute yourself or raise your Zoom hand, and then we'll unmute you so you can ask the question. So now it's open for any of you to ask a question. You can raise your Zoom hand. Yes, Arusha, over to you.
Thank you, Lushani. Thank you, Bhante, for this opportunity. With your permission, Bhante, I'd like to share an experience I had this week before my question. So this week, I stepped out of the house with an intent. I had to go and pick up my son from school. And when I stepped out, I knew I was on time and I had kind of allowed enough time. But when I stepped out of the house and looked where the car was normally parked, it wasn't there. And I immediately felt and was aware of this feeling of loss, that I had lost something, that something had gone wrong. And also an awareness of how it didn't make sense, the confusion, the sense of confusion in the mind, because I had my car key in my hand, but the car wasn't where it was supposed to be parked. And I went back in the house and I asked, does anyone know where the car is? And I was informed that, it's parked somewhere else. And again, I had an awareness of some annoyance, that sense of, why was that done? But also this sense of, I'm the person picking up my son, so I need to be that person, and I ran to the car. But what I noted was, that noting of what was going on in my mind. So by the time I got to my car, I was more aware that, I noticed those things. And that was actually, I felt good about it, that I'd noticed those things. And so by the time I actually started driving, the worry about losing the car, that sense of annoyance that something had been done that I didn't expect, those had disappeared and I was more focused on the noting or that experience of having noticed those feelings in my mind. So partly my question, Bhante, I guess, is, am I right to think that this is a product of the formal practice and the mindfulness that I've been working on? And I also just wanted to share it as an experience that I had this week. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. As you know, these things are the measurements of our practice. When such things happen, we can really see what is going on and what's the difference due to the practice. So these things, initially you react in the usual way. You get confused and you are searching, I have the key, but the car is not there. So it's natural. But after a while, you start to notice this struggle that is going inside your mind. Probably it is parked somewhere else, but your mind is not proposing that initially. It might say that it was stolen, something like that. Now I have to check the CCTV cameras or something like that. So that's how it goes. So we try to just be aware, we try to notice what is happening. Okay, I will go inside and ask these people. Okay, now I know. Now I have to somehow function again. So these things are very valuable measures of this practice. When you practice, then you start to realize I am rather to respond, rather to react. I am responding to these situations. And during your talk, you mentioned that you knew that these things were there in your mind. The confusion was there, but you knew. That is the difference. That is why we say this is about becoming the modern humans, Homo sapiens sapiens. Not only they know that they know. That's the difference. So scars, right? Last week, right? Did you see the incident? So think about it. Now he was supposed to get the best actor position, and he ruined his own occasion due to that incident. So he became a slave to his mind, and probably for years. And he has done hard work for years and years. That reputation is gone in few seconds, few minutes. Now that damage you can't undo. So few seconds of unmindfulness, getting lost in your mind, can ruin your entire career. So that's why it is important to be aware. That's why I'm telling again and again, if you know that you're angry, while you're angry, that's a superpower. If you know that you're thinking while thinking, that's a superpower. So this is actually a superpower, the remaining part of evolution, becoming modern humans, becoming Homo sapiens sapiens, not just sapien twice, sapiens sapiens. So that ability we have to develop, otherwise we are just slaves of our mind. When it is angry, we are angry. When it is sad, we are sad. Not only we are sad, not only we are angry, we are reacting. We go and slap somebody, you know, in front of the whole world. So the entire career ruined within a few seconds. So it is important that, you know, you start noticing. I'm not suggesting that it will change. The reactions will come. That is natural. But the only difference is that we start to notice. Okay, now I am sad and I know. Now I am angry and I know. Now I am confused and I know. So that ability you are developing again and again. If you know, then you are safe. You are protected. So last week I saw this documentary. A killer was about to be executed within a few days. He's talking. I killed two persons during a robbery. I shot somebody, I robbed, then I stabbed somebody. He's saying, if I can go back and do it again, I won't do. Now I understand I was angry. I'm sorry, but I can't correct it, he's saying. With tears, he's saying. But what is done. You can't undo it. You can't travel back in time and correct those situations. So that is why it is important that, you know, you start to notice. You try to be aware again and again. On Monday, you probably suddenly realize that you are angry and you are about to do something. That realization is very important. Because then you have the option of not doing it if you want. So that's how it develops. Little by little it comes. Not suddenly, not within a day or two. You have to put your effort towards it. You have to earn it. So continue this way. And of course, it's a result of the practice that you are doing. And these are the real experiences that we want to share in this discussion. So everybody knows now this is how we should practice. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable advice and your thoughts. Arusha, thank you for sharing your experience. I think when we share experiences and ask questions, we all benefit. So thank you so much, Arusha. I can see Samantha has also raised her hand. Samantha, do you want to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Thank you, Lushani. Thank you, Bhante, for taking my question. I've got two questions now, one following from what Bhante was just saying. But my first question is, I was just wondering, so to be mindful in our present-to-present moment in everyday life and just to being aware of our thought, everything, what's in our mind and thoughts and emotions. I was just wondering, to increase the awareness, do we have to also increase our concentration, which would lead, like, say for example, if I practice focusing on the breath every day on a single object to increase my samadhi, would that, even though I'm being mindful in that whilst watching the breath as well, is that would that also lead to an increase in my mindfulness, so that I'm aware of situations, you know, during the day as well, when I'm out of the cushion? That's my first question, Bhante. Just wondering how I could increase my mindfulness. And secondly, following from what Bhante was just saying about Arusha's question about, like, say, if you were, or Bhante was just advising, like, if you were mindful of your emotion, if you're angry or whatever happens, like, how can one stop? So I'm aware that I'm angry. So what is it that is going to make me stop from reacting? What should I inject into my mind? Is it the right view? I mean, how do I process the what's going on in my mind to stop me and do the right thing, the wholesome action? Thank you, Bhante. If I could get some advice on those two questions.
Okay, the very first one. Now, concentration comes as a result of mindfulness. You can't just practice the concentration. Mindfulness is the one that you can practice. You can be aware. Mm-hmm. And that awareness, as a result, concentration comes. And when there is more concentration, more mindful your mind becomes. Again, that mindfulness is helping, supporting more and more concentration. So they are like dependent on each other. Mm. But mindfulness is the one that you can practice. If you just try to be aware on a single object, just try to concentrate on a single object, you will find it's really difficult. Most people, they get headaches due to this type of a practice. After sitting for a few minutes, they get a headache. So that's not the proper way. Instead, you be aware. Awareness, mm-hmm. you can maintain even though the objects of awareness may change. While walking, especially walking is a good example. When you walk, the awareness changes, but you are aware that I'm hearing a sound, I feel my body. Thinking thoughts like that, your awareness, you can continue. So that awareness is supporting mm-hmm. concentration. And with that concentration, of course, you can be more and more aware. That is why when you practice more and more, you start to see more and more details. People say that now I have started this practice, now I get so many thoughts. Now all the time I'm hearing so much sounds. All the time I feel these various sensations inside my body. So they complain. They think that this is a side effect of the practice. And now it is more and more difficult. That's their complaint. But when you really think about it, increased awareness will show you more information. Earlier also you had those thoughts, but you didn't even notice. Now you are noticing. Earlier also, the bodily sensations were there. So many functions going in this body. You are not noticing. You are not aware. But when you try to be aware, then suddenly you realize, these things are there. So that's a result of the practice. You have to take it as a result. So that's how it goes. You have to, you know, practice mindfulness. As a result, the concentration will come. If it doesn't come, that's also fine. We are not chasing after it. If you chase after concentration, then you can practice on certain days only. So that's not the way. Instead, focus on the mindfulness, focus on the awareness, and concentration comes as a result. With that concentration, you can be more and more aware. So, for example, when we say sitting versus walking, one of the advantages in this walking practice, most people, they don't appreciate walking. One of the advantages is that now the mindfulness or the concentration, let's say the concentration as a result, you're also getting, no? So the mindfulness and the concentration you develop during the walking is long lasting. That's one of the advantages of walking practice. Sitting, as soon as you open your eyes, it's gone. But walking, it will last for a few hours even. You can really feel it after maybe 1 hour of walking. If you can do, then you realize next 3-4 hours, I have this real awareness and concentration in my mind. And that is helping me to function next few hours even. Mm. That's why we suggest you start with the mindfulness, report your experience, and based on that experience, we can move forward. Because when you start to practice and you try to be aware while walking and sitting, you get doubts, questions, they are natural. So that is why we are opening it to a discussion. Try to you know, put it into the discussion and, you know, get some ideas. And again, you go and practice. So that way you have to develop.
Yes, thank you, Bhante. Just quickly before we get to this next question, I just want to quickly ask, so if I'm sitting down and I normally focus, say, on my breath, so would I be correct in saying then I'd be mindful in watching the breath and then just stay with the breath and that's all I'm doing? Would that be the correct practice I'll be doing?
No, you just try to be aware. Breath is one object only. Mm-hmm. You may notice breath. I'm not saying that you will definitely notice breath. For some people, they can't even feel breath. So sit down, make sure you make yourself comfortable, close your eyes, and just be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware and see what is appearing in this awareness. The bodily sensations, we give priority to the body. So what is appearing inside my body, what comes naturally to me? So that you have to answer after doing your practice. Just close your eyes and notice just for a few minutes. If you stay, then you realize this comes naturally. Probably the stomach or maybe the posture, maybe the breath, whatever that comes, you try to observe that. When you try to observe that, you realize that's...
I think we seem to have lost connection.
Namantha? Yeah,
I can't hear. Let us wait a few seconds. Maybe it's a weak internet connection.
I'm sure Bhante will rejoin with the connection coming in. I think it's Sri Lanka. There are some power cuts.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So we will, in the meantime, we will be mindful about our seated posture and wait for Bhante to regain connection, hopefully.
Thank you, Namantha.
Namantha, can you hear?
We can hear you, Bhante.
Yes. So the second question regarding the emotions. So what is the advantage of noticing them, becoming aware? So if you are... then you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how you are reacting. So awareness gives you a choice. Being aware, you might do the same thing one day. So this doesn't come within a day or two. Sometimes even after doing, you become aware that I did this and this happened. Maybe after a few days, you become aware. But when you practice, especially when you support it with the formal practice, I'm again saying when you support it with the formal practice, then you realize now I'm angry. And I can, of course, if I want, I can react in the usual way. But if I want, I can, you know, refrain. That choice you are having. If you are aware, if you are not aware, then of course it's the same old thing. When you're angry, you shout. Mm-hmm. When you're sad, you cry. So that difference you have to really understand with practice. What is the advantage of being aware? Ignorance is not bliss. Of course, it says as a quote. But awareness, that's the one that we are recommending.
Mm. So what Bhante was saying is that by being aware, then
with awareness, one can then... That's also, we are...
Yeah.
I can't hear properly. Namanta, can you hear? I'm not sure whether the connection...
Now there's a connection. Yeah, earlier on, there was a bit of a disturbance. But can you hear me, Bhante?
Yes, we can hear you.
I think Bhante,
we can hear you, Samantha. I think Bhante had, but this connection dropped a little. Bhante, can you hear us? Bhante, can you hear us?
I think Bhante's got a bit of connection, I think.
Yes, I think it's Bhante's connection's probably dropping.
Yes.
Samantha.
Bhante, we can hear you now.
Bhante, I think we are having a bandwidth issue. Shall we turn off videos to adjust to it? Because with the video transmission, I think the signal is too weak to carry the video transmission. So I think we should turn off videos if Bhante permits.
Okay, fine. Yes. Namanda, can you hear me now?
Yes, very well, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, so I didn't hear the last part.
Thank you, Bhante. I was just asking, so by being mindful of one's emotion, then is the purpose being, then one can stop reacting adversely, doing an unwholesome action. Is that the advantage? So you can then in your mind go through the process of see the drawbacks of, you know, to do the right action, take the right action. Would that so when you're mindful, that will be the advantage of what will be think going in processing in one's mind. Would that be correct? Okay. You say
yes. It's like this now. When if you are aware, you get few choices. You mm-hmm. can react positively, negatively, or you can stay neutral. So those choices are available to you only if you are aware.
Right.
If you are not aware, you are usually reacting to pleasure. You are reacting positively. To displeasure, you are reacting negatively.
Mm-hmm.
That's your usual way. But if you are aware, you get a choice. Now, this pleasure is there. How should I react? This anger is there. How should I react? The usual response comes naturally to you. The reaction comes naturally to you. But with mindfulness, you get a choice. So try, start with the formal meditation. Share your experience if you can next week. And then with that, we can go towards your day-to-day life. Dealing with emotions, it's a bit complicated matter. So you have to experience it.
Yes. Thank you, Bhante. That was really helpful, Bhante, your advice. And just to clarify quickly, so when I'm sitting and watching the breath as my, the object of my, that appears the object of my meditation. So, and if my mind wanders, should I think to myself, okay, that's thinking, a thought arose. So then should I then bring my mind back to the breath and then keep on practicing it like that during my sitting meditation?
Now, there is a valuable point here related to your earlier question. Now, only after being aware, you can act, right? If you don't know that you are thinking, then of course you don't have a choice. So that's the advantage of mindfulness. If you have a choice, then there's one option. You can bring your attention back to the breath. There is second option as well. That is for advanced yogis. We say advanced, the special word. The second option is that be aware and stay with the thought. Be aware and stay with the emotion. See what happens. So if you are new to the practice, if you don't know where to bring your attention, then it's a problem. Then we are not recommending. But once you know your mindfulness, once you know what you're doing, then there's the second option. Just let it be and see with the awareness what is happening. It may go thinking thoughts again and again. We don't know. So that experiment you have to do and you have to report back. I'm not suggesting this is what happens. I'm not giving any answers. Instead, you have to see. I'm aware, I have two options. One is to bring your attention back to the breath. That all of us know, right? And the second option is also there.
Okay, that's interesting, Bant.
But you are not doing anything. You just be aware and see what is happening. What is happening to this thought? What is happening to this emotion? So that's another option.
Yes.
So thank you, mindfulness Bant. Only, you have those paths. If you are not aware, you don't have option. That's again and again I'm saying. Only if you are aware only, you have these options.
Lovely. Yes, thank you, Bhante. That was very interesting, actually, because I wasn't usually, if I'm aware of my thoughts, if I'm not aware of my thoughts, it'll just carry on and proliferates and whatever. But now I think I might try that and see what happens if I carry on with the thoughts, and I can report to Bhante next time. Thank you very much, Bhante. Really appreciate your advice. Thank you.
Sadhu. Try and come with the feedback.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. I will do.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Samantha, for those very valuable questions. I think we all benefited from them. I can see Panchani's raised her hand. So Panchani, over to you. You can unmute yourself and ask your question. Panchani, I've asked you to, I've given you the option to unmute. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Venerable Bhante. Thank you, Lushani. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very well. Thank you.
Okay. I wrote to you as well, Bhante. I have been practicing Anapanasati for over a year now. And in my formal practice, a couple of months ago, I did experience rapture, pleasure, and what you call pasadi. And now in my sitting practice, I come to a stage where there are absolutely no thoughts. It's such calm and tranquility. And what I'm trying to do is to increase the time that I can stay like that. Sometimes a thought arises and then it ceases. But at other times, the mind just stays the way it is. I mean, it's so peaceful and tranquil. And in my day-to-day practice also, I try to get that state in my mind, although thoughts arise. The mind doesn't seem to like it, and it seems to prefer the calm and tranquility. So I try as much as possible to stay without the thoughts, without the thinking. Just wanted to know from your experience if I'm doing the right things and how I could progress further.
Yes, now in your experience, you mentioned something that mind doesn't like it, the thoughts, right? So that's a very valuable part. During one's practice, they have to again and again experience this and see what is happening, again and again correct themselves. So here, if you are not accepting your thoughts, if you are only chasing that kind of a tranquility in your practice, then that is not the proper way. Of course, it is initially, but there's a certain point that you have to move beyond that. When right. you get to that point, the thoughts appear naturally. And if you are not accepting, then your practice is not going forward beyond that point. So first, we appreciate the breath. We hold on to the breath. When you observe your breath, you are holding on to it. That is holding on. You are holding on to breath. So the initial practice will suggest that you hold on to breath and you let go of the entire world, the other things. Right now you are holding on to breath, as a result you are letting go of the other things.
Oh, but the breath is completely disappeared. The body disappears, the breath disappears.
Yes.
And it's
now the breath disappears, then the body disappears. Now there's this calmness, let's say. Now you are trying to hold on to that, right? Still you are holding yeah. on. You are trying to, you know, stay with something. Now, where's the letting go? The letting go comes next.
Mm-hmm.
When there's letting go, the thoughts appear.
Yeah.
Now, your mind doesn't like it. That means
yeah.
you're holding on to that tranquility.
I see.
Right? So, if you hold on to that, then if you hold on to tranquility, then still no real peace. You have to let go mm-hmm. of that as well. How you can let go? You have to accept. You are not inviting. Whatever comes, you accept it. Right? Thoughts may appear. Pain may appear inside your body. Various sounds may appear. Just accept them. Let them come and go. Don't try to interfere. Just let them go their natural way. Usually thoughts, they don't come and bother us. We go after the thoughts. And we go and bother them. That is what we are doing. So try and see. Now you have a certain level of concentration. Try and see, can I just be without, you know, involving? Thoughts may appear, after a while they disappear. Sounds may appear, they disappear. Whatever that coming to being shall pass. That's the idea. So try and see, beyond this point, you have to, you know, accept the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to welcome them and see, there's this agitation in your mind when they appear. You have noticed that. That's a good sign.
Right.
Now you are holding on to this emptiness or the calmness, whatever you call it. You're holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now how to let go of that? That is the next part.
I see.
So that comes with the thoughts. Yes.
One more question, Bhante, before. I'm sorry if I'm taking everyone's time. I see a bright light. Should I go in that light or should I just let go of that light?
Just let it be. If it comes, then it's fine. If it goes, then you don't chase after it. So this practice is really easy. You are not, you know, chasing after anything. They come, mm-hmm. they do their drama and they go away. Unless mm-hmm. you interfere. If you mm-hmm. interfere, so then it will become the thing.
So the mind needs to be really still, basically. Do nothing. Do nothing, think nothing, just be still.
Try and see.
Yeah.
Whether you can do it, right? Come mm-hmm. with the experience, what happens next? This mm-hmm. is what happens. That way we have to go forward little by little. I can explain, but you won't understand. So you have to experience it. That's why this mm-hmm. path is slow, but mm-hmm. it's a steady path.
Mm-hmm.
So come with the experience. Now this is where I got last time. Now this mm-hmm. week I was practicing, I was trying to welcome whatever comes, and this is my experience. This is how I reacted. So you will have a lot of information. With that information, with that experience, we can move forward to the next phase.
Thank you very much, Bhante. I will put it into a subject report next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Panchani. As I said before, I think asking questions benefits everybody. So thank you for your valuable questions. I'm sure it's benefiting everyone. So if there's anyone else who wants to ask a question, please raise your Zoom hand. Otherwise, I think that's been a very good session. Oh, I can see Bandula's raised his hand. So Bandula, I think Bante, are you okay to take one more question?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Bante. Bandula, over to you.
Bante. I have a little question. This is about Bante. I have been practicing for some time. Today, I noticed there's a little, there's a sort of a mental pain, say like we call it dukkha, sort of. Something settles in the mind. Initially, I don't actually, naturally, I don't like to that feeling. But I try to, while I'm doing other things, it settle in the mind somewhere. So I try to see my reaction, but there's no overly reaction, but still it is there. So, so at the same time, I watch, is a mind wandering for anything, but it's not wandering anywhere, but it's still sitting the sort of a, it's like a very unhappy feeling. It's there's no not overly reaction, but there is a very minor thing inside. I don't want it, sort of like that. So I'd like to get some advice from you, Bante. Thank you.
Right, so that's an observation. When you practice, when you be aware, you can feel that there's no real difficulty in your body, but still the mind aches. So there's a difficulty in your mind. And it feels like it wants to, you know, go after something, or something void, empty is there. So various shapes and various ideas may come into our head, but we just try to accept it. We just try to, you know, just be with this kind of a suffering in our mind. So if it is bodily, of course, we can call it pain. If it is created in your mind, then we can call it suffering. So this mind hurts. So if you try to get rid of it, if you try to, you know, stop your meditation and go after something else, or go watch TV, then you are not properly practicing. In practice, what we are doing is that we are accepting whatever comes our way. We are not trying to, you know, attract more and more things, or we are not trying to reject. Instead, we just little by little try to accept these things that come our way. So these are good observations. After years and years of practice, this is what I noticed. And there's this void kind of a thing. There's this vacuum in this mind, and it wants to fill it with something, searching for various things, lust, anger, various things it tries to fill it with. So those are good observations. Just continue and you will realize that this is just a phase. You know, after a few weeks, another thing comes, another new phase comes. So these are cycles that's going. So you just have to be patiently observe and, you know, somehow get past that phase.
Thank you very much, Bante.
Thank you, Bante, and thank you, Bandula, for that valuable question. So with that, I think we've had a very wonderful Q&A today. Thank you, everyone, for all your valuable questions. And thank you, Bante. Much merits to you for all your guidance. With that, I will hand it back to Namanta.
Thank you very much, Lishani, for that, for conducting the Q&A session. And of course, Bante, much merits to Bante for such a wonderful and insightful Q&A session today. And also, I'm delighted to hear so many people speak out and express and make statements about their mindfulness and associated experiences. It is a delight to see such the practice coming out and being expressed in this session, which is very much the purpose of these sessions and this program. So much merits to everyone. And we have a bit of limited time. And if Bhante is okay, I would like to skip the beginner's introduction for today and move on straight to the talk on mindfulness. And also Bhante, we will keep the videos turned off for signal weakness related issues. And Bhante can experiment turning the video on if Bhante likes to, and conduct the talk for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Okay, everybody. So we will have probably about 15-20 minutes just to talk a little bit about the practice. So since we were discussing various things, let me, you know, start with something like that. Now, this is a practice about letting go. And when you want to let go, first, during, let's say, your day-to-day life, during your work life, if you just if you were just asked to let go, then although you try, I'm letting go, although you try, it is difficult, it is not working. So with practice only, you can let go. The practice is important. With that practice only, you develop the ability to let go. So the idea of letting go, it comes like this. Now, you are recommended to hold on to something. Let's say while sitting, you are asked to observe what are the bodily sensations that are prominent, probably your breath, maybe your stomach, movement of your stomach, or the posture, or the heartbeat, whatever that comes your way. Okay, you are asked to observe that. So in a way, you are holding on to this object. While walking, let's say probably the weight shifting or the sensations of the floor, you were asked to observe. So you are holding on to those bodily sensations. So even your day-to-day life, you are asked to observe what you feel with your body. Okay, while I was working the kitchen, this is what I noticed. I was holding a knife and this is how it felt. With the other hand, I was holding vegetables. This is how it felt. So like that, you can observe these bodily sensations. So this body becomes the anchor of our mindfulness. So we hold on to the body. We hold on to the bodily sensations and try to let go of the other things. The thoughts, we try to let go. Thoughts come, you notice again and again, you bring your attention to the body. Memories, they come, you just notice again and again, you bring your attention to the body. So this way, we are letting go of the entire world. Let's say, entire world, we are letting go. Now the breath, now the steps, they are your world. So the entire world that you have let go, now what remains is the breath. What remains is the sensations of the steps. So usually when people come to this stage, they are even more tightly holding on to the breath or the steps. They don't want to see that sensation disappearing. They don't like that. Instead, they want the breath to remain. They want the sensations of the steps to remain. In this uncertain world, they want to keep the breath forever. They want to keep the steps forever. But if you are practicing properly, the practice is recommending certain improvements to your practice. Now you can feel the breath is disappearing. Although I try to focus, I can't keep my attention with the steps. So these are very good signs that your practice is progressing. But the big question is that whether you are ready to accept, whether you are ready to accept that this is a progress in my practice. So that is why the importance of the discussion is very valuable, because unless you talk with other people's experiences, the people who have practiced, of course, unless you hear their comments, hear their observations, you think that I have to hold on to the breath, I have to hold on to these bodily sensations. But that is only the initial part. Because if you are holding on to the breath, eventually you are holding on to something. If you are holding on to the steps or the bodily sensations, you are holding on to something. So with time, you try to develop this ability, develop this skill to let go. Even you have, there is a certain point that you have to let go of the breath. You have to let go of the bodily sensations. You have to let go of the steps. When that point comes, most people, they don't like to deal with it. They put it in a reverse gear and they again move back to their comfort zone. But if you really want to develop in your practice, always, whatever comes, it is the proper way. If the thoughts are appearing, then that is the next phase of the practice. When thoughts appear, you get this agitation in your mind. Your mind doesn't like this change. So that agitation in your mind, it is a good measure of how much you are holding on to the breath, how much you are holding on to the bodily sensations. So again and again, you have to, you know, experience this again and again when you get thoughts, again and again when you get other emotions, again and again when various situations come. Little by little, you develop the ability to let go of the breath as well. So what remains? Only the mindfulness remains. Mindfulness is the ability of being aware. The object of awareness, that's a different thing. The breath is the object. The steps, they are the objects. So the objects may change, but your mindfulness remains. So that is a difficult skill to develop. Especially the traditional practitioners, they don't like to accept the change. They want to go back to their comfort zone. They want to go back to breath. But if you are risk-taking, if you are a risk lover, then you can just let the thoughts be and see what happens. So that is why I mentioned, now if you are aware, you have two options. If you are not aware, you don't have any option. You are caught in that thought process. But as soon as you become aware, two options become available to you. The first option is the traditional one, bringing your attention back to the breath, getting rid of the thought. The second option is the one that is for advanced practitioners. The second option is risk-taking, risk-loving. The second option leads you towards unknown areas. You may not like, because when you allow those thoughts to continue, various things may appear in your head. Maybe the problems, issues that you have refused for years and years, they are appearing. Then naturally your mind gets sad, angry. Various emotions will appear according to those thoughts. But little by little, we develop this ability to accept these thoughts, emotions, and let them come and go. it is natural for maybe months or years when something good comes, when something pleasant comes, your mind is somehow welcoming it a little bit. When unpleasant something comes, your mind is refusing it. That change is still there. But with practice, you realize now that change is lower. Still, I am resisting unpleasant things, but I am resisting only a little. Still, I am welcoming pleasant things, but I am welcoming only a little. So when this change disappears, your mind is peaceful forever. Now there is no change, no difference between thoughts. There's no difference between sounds. There's no difference between bodily sensations. Things come into your attention, things appear in your field of awareness, and after a while they vanish. So this is the truth in this world. Whatever comes into being shall pass. Various things appear in your field of awareness, and after a while they pass. Sounds appear, thoughts appear, mental images appear, past incidents appear. If you just keep observing, after a while they pass. Little by little, you understand this fundamental reality, fundamental truth of this world. Whatever comes into being shall pass. So that's how we recommend you to progress. You can't suddenly go into a different stage and start practicing. Instead, start where you are. Just sit on the cushion for 30, 40 minutes. Walk comfortably for 30, 40 minutes and try to see what is happening. Try to notice what is happening. Come with your experience. Because each and every person, they have a unique path. Only through the experience we can see, this is how your path is progressing. This is what you have to do. For somebody else, that's not the way it is progressing. So that is why there are advantages in a group discussion. You hear a lot of people sharing their experiences, the way of practice you hear. But of course, there are disadvantages as well. Because you have to, you know, have some kind of a wisdom and listen to these type of discussions and see. Now this person is sharing this experience. And the advice was this one. Is it related to me? Probably you are not developed that up to that level. Probably you have passed that level. So those pros and cons are also there. But overall, I think a group discussion is benefiting so much if you listen wisely. So when you present your experience, then only we can see, this is how your practice is progressing. This is the proper advice for you. Somebody else might come and say, no, that's not a problem for me. This is my problem. That's right. This is your problem and this is how you should progress. So that way we are again and again tuning in a way like a tuning the musical instrument. We are tuning our practice to attain a lasting peace in our mind. Even little...
I think Bhante dropped out for a moment. We will wait a bit.
Amanta.
Yes, we can hear you now, Bhante. Yes. All good.
What is the last part that you heard? I'm asking a difficult question.
I know. Bhante, I was mindful about my body posture, not about the exact.
Okay, that's fine. So anyway, I was towards the end of the discussion. So
yes.
What I suggest is that
Bhante, but you were just saying that you have to use wisdom in finding out where you are at compared to whatever the question being raised and whatever the answer being given by Bhante. It was around that time, around that idea, around that topic that you were discussing.
Okay, so practice, see what comes your way, see your experience. And if you come with that experience, then of course we can suggest you the way forward. And that way forward is unique to you. So try to practice, try to do the formal sitting, walking, try to do your day-to-day practice and come with the feedback, come with your experience. And we'll discuss that. Again, you have to go and, you know, practice accordingly. Again, after a few weeks, you come with the feedback. That way, you can develop. If you spend a few months, probably around 2 hours per day, formal practice. If you continue your practice for a few months, then of course you will see results for yourself. And we don't have to preach the advantages so much. Instead, you know that this practice is helping, this practice is benefiting me. So with that, I think we can finish for today. We are having certain problems in this side, the power drops, various things are there. So we are running with few backups. Still, it goes away sometimes. I hope you got the idea what we were talking.
Thank you so much, Bhante, for participating in today's session with so much difficulties at the moment, persisting in Sri Lanka. I think the bandwidth issues were being caused by power supply related issues, which are currently unavoidable. So again, a huge thank you to Bhante for Bhante's efforts to continue the session today. And no matter what, today's session was a delightful session on mindfulness, especially due to all the participants making statements and raising questions, and also a very insightful and excellent talk on mindfulness from Bhante to finish off, especially that you have to use your own insight and wisdom to identify which questions and which answers will be most related to you in this process, because each of us will be in a different point in the path compared to another person, but still you can gain from another person's experience being stated and reflection advice being given. So with this contribution, we all wish for Bhante's own practice to improve day by day, and for Bhante to reap many benefits of being mindful, and all the merits will be shared with Bhante, hopefully, that have been gained by us all in this session. Secondly, I would like to thank Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru for allowing us to have this program and allowing us and requesting us to initiate this program. So we wish him good health and long life and prolonged contribution to mindfulness overall in the world. Then I would also like to thank all the great team of organizers who are very enthusiastic about this program and who are contributing to this program day in, day out throughout each week. So thank you and much merits to all of you. And also I would like to thank all the attendees who have participated in today's session. Given the things that are happening in the world, there is one news after another news, one event after another event, and even in our personal lives, we might be experiencing challenges where mindfulness will come into the rescue in a snap second. So yes, thank you so much for all of you for your participation, and hope to see you again and again in all the sessions in future, weekly sessions. With that, the session comes to an end. If anyone has a question on the program or a comment or a suggestion, you can raise the hand and we can let you speak if you can raise your Zoom hand. I think there are no questions at the moment. So I will make three short announcements and share the screen for the first two. You can see on screen the website for Nisaranamane Forest Monastery, which is the origin of all this insightful and wonderful information and guidance on mindfulness. So you can go to nisarana.lk website and find out more information about the Forest Monastery itself and gain access to some useful resources that will be there for you to understand, to read and understand. Secondly, I would like to mention and announce about the Satipatthasila Foundation, which is a fantastic initiative from the Nisaranamane Forest Monastery to distribute and educate on the lesson and usefulness of mindfulness using activities and well-organized front for fast spread of mindfulness among students and all people of all walks of life. Then for the third announcement, I will stop sharing the screen. The third announcement is again for you to invite any person who's interested in learning about mindfulness to this session. This will be held every Saturday. From Sri Lankan time, it will be 1 p.m. In the UK, it will be 8:30 a.m. as per latest adjusted time frame. So you can join in every day on every Saturday. And as you would have seen, this is a continuous cycle of improvement, continuous cycle of progress, where you learn something, apply it in practice, and then you provide feedback, written or verbal. Written is a bit preferred more than verbal because it tends to create more of an impact in you when you write your own experience. So once we present your report or your question to Bhante, the answers that he gives will be useful for further improvement. So you can see that this improvement does happen and you start getting a benefit in daily activities through improved mindfulness over the long term. So with this, the session for today comes to an end. And again, I would like to thank all of you and invite you all for the next session on mindfulness, which is going to be on the 9th of April, next Saturday. Until then, I wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead and hope to see more reports and questions in the next session. And finally, again, a mention of thank you to Bhante for his wonderful support and participation in the session today. Thank you, Bhante. And I will end the session now. Thank you.